Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Scott Lauber knows something about that. He watched Bryce Harper be a star when the Phillies needed him to be a star. And he joins us. It is great to be talking baseball anytime, Scott.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And it's in full swing with spring training. So, and it's crazy because they actually play a game tomorrow. They play an exhibition game, a couple of them actually, a split squad. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I kind of feel like it all just ended with the World Series. It was a short off season, 90 days or so, I guess, and right back at it starting tomorrow with a spring training game. It's crazy.
It always seems like a long time when you're a Pirates fan because it ends September 30th. But when you and your team is in the World Series, it's a short turnaround. One thing that we'll see right away, Scott, will be the rules. So yeah. which ones are you interested to see how they work and what difference they make?
Yeah, we're going to get a good look at them right away. And, I mean, just a guess, but I think the first few weeks of spring training could be a little messy. And I'm not sure Major League Baseball doesn't want it to be a little bit messy because they're going to implement these new rules right from the jump in spring training. And, you know, better to get it out of... You know, as Rob Thompson said, better to get it out of your system in spring training, right? And kind of adapt to them now rather than during the season. And so right from the get-go, they're going to call, you know, they're going to call pitchers who are too slow and hitters who are too slow. And I think that's the one that's going to stand out the most early on. And I don't think it's going to be the one that has the biggest effect on, let's say, the season. Because I think players will adjust. But, you know, there are going to be guys who've been around a long time. I think veteran players are going to have more trouble than young guys who've experienced it in the minor leagues, who've just done something a certain way for their entire careers, and they're going to have to speed up and get, you know, hitters are going to have to get in that box, and pitchers are going to have to get on the rubber and deliver a pitch. And you're going to see, I think, some guys flagged for it early in spring training, and they're not going to be happy about it. But they're going to have to adapt to it. So I think that's the one that's going to stand out in the very beginning. Ultimately, I think the one that's going to have, you know, or the two that are going to have the most effect on the season and the way the game is played in general, you know, is the banning of the shift and, you know, and maybe, you know, some other things like the pickoff throws and the larger bases. You know, it's all in the name of getting more action in the game and less dead time. And I think that those are going to be the rules that change the way the game looks and the way the game is played. The pitch timer and the pitch clock, to me, is very important because it's going to speed up, hopefully, the pace of the game. But I think, ultimately, a lot of the hiccups that you're going to see in spring training with pitchers and hitters, you know, they'll be able to adapt to that. And once the season starts, hopefully... you know, there won't be a whole lot of interruption because of it. It'll become second nature. So we'll see.
So I'll pick out a guy that we know is a slow worker, and that's Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, whether he was at the Dodgers, Braves, now at the Red Sox, he takes a lot of time between pitches. All right. So on the Phillies, who would fall into that category of taking a little longer, in your opinion, than others that may have to then regeared to make sure they fit?
So the Phillies came to spring training with a list of some of their pitchers, and I assume hitters as well, but, you know, the focus for whatever reason has been more on the pitchers here, who are the slower workers. And, you know, some of the names on that list are like Andrew Bellotti as a reliever who will be in their bullpen, and Jose Alvarado, and but I think the Kenley Jansen equivalent, and I don't know if he's as slow, quite as slow as Kenley Jansen, but, you know, he's going to be challenged in a similar way as Craig Kimbrell. And okay. It's not unusual
yes.
that guys who are closers, you know, are challenged like this, especially with runners on base. They really do tend to slow down when they get a runner on base and have to pitch out of the stretch. So I generally think it's that group of pitcher. Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, guys who've been doing this a while and doing it a certain way, who might have to just get used to a little bit of a different pace, a little bit of a different rhythm. maybe it changes how they hold runners. You know, they're not going to be able to pick off as much either when there's a runner on base. You can disengage from the rubber twice, and that includes pickoffs. And then if you try to pick a runner after that, you better get him. Otherwise, it's a balk and he gets the base. So, you know, it's going to be an adjustment for those guys. I think the younger guys, as I said, who've maybe experienced this a little bit in the minor leagues, I think it'll be a little bit easier for them. The older guys might take a while. And, you know, I think you're going to see some flags in spring training. You know, some guys who get you know, flagged by the umpires, and hopefully they, you know, as I said, kind of can adapt in spring training. So some of that messiness kind of gets out of the way before the season starts.
Kenley Jansen is slow to the plate. There are people that go through school zones faster. So let's now let's get to the size of the bases and the pickoff part, which is interesting. So let's take one of the great moments in baseball, and that was Dave Roberts stealing second off Mariano Rivera. And Game 4, American League Championship Series 2004.
Sure.
Rivera throws over four times. That won't be allowed. And Posada, who does not have a great arm, makes one of the best throws of his career. And to be honest with you, with a bigger base, it's not that close a play. How interested are you to see stuff like that? Because a play that was like bang, bang, with a larger base is not going to be bang, bang.
Yeah. I mean, look, that was my feeling also. And then I talked to Trey Turner.
Okay.
Who has stolen the most bases, I think, of anyone in the majors since like 2015 or 2016. He doesn't think it's going to be that big of a thing. Like he said, you know, he said to me, he goes, you know, right now with the bases the way they were, you were out by an inch or safe by an inch so often. And he doesn't think that the extra 3 inches, it goes from 15 by 15 square inches to 18 by 18. It might sound like a lot, and honestly, I'll be honest with you. I've seen them; it looks a lot bigger. He still thinks you're going to be out or safe by a few inches. He doesn't necessarily think that the bases are going to make a whole lot of difference. He does think that the pickoff rule is going to be a factor, and for somebody like him who runs and runs well, the expectation might be to run more often because they're not going to be able to pick off as much. If they pick off twice, you know they probably aren't going to try it for a third time. So you might as well take off and go. It does cut down on the distance between bases by, you know, like I forget what the measurement is. It's minuscule, but it's also there. It's a little bit smaller than 90 feet. It's like 89 and something inches, but like so that's slightly closer. But he seems to think it's going to be some of those other factors like holding runners and, you know, the pitch timer making it harder to hold a runner, the pickoff making it harder to hold a runner, that'll compel runners to run more, which is really the point of the whole thing anyway, is to run more and to get more action in the game. He still thinks, though, that you're going to have bang-bang plays the way you did before. We'll see. My inclination was to say exactly what you just did, which was, you know, a bang-bang play, it's certainly going to favor the runner now because the base is bigger. But I'm not sure. We'll have to see how it plays out.
What about the shift? I mean, look, people will still shift. They just have to they may be a foot away from the imaginary line at second base. To me, the key part is they have to keep their feet on the dirt of the infield. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how teams try to circumvent the new rule because you know that some teams are gonna try to figure out a way. They're gonna get. Now, this is what teams do, and it's totally understandable, and that's what they should do is get in their labs and figure out, you know, all right, how do we get an edge now? And you know, I said that to Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is one of the ones who's going to be, you would think, most affected in a good way by the banning of the shift because. He faced the shift like 90% of the time last year. I saw one estimate where he had 12 or 13 hits taken away by the shift. You know, 12 or 13 hits raises his batting average by about 20 points. You know, how hard he hits the ball to the right side, a lot of those balls that went in the shift are going to go for hits now. So he's excited about that. But I said to him, like, you think you're going to see like a shortstop, for instance, you know, try to break as soon as he can to get in position on the other side? And he's like, I think that's going to be too difficult. Like, you can't, it's going to be hard to outrace the ball. So it's going to be hard to break from your side of the base. Obviously, they'll position their infielders on that, on their side of the base, to try to maybe take away a hit up the middle or something like that. He thinks where it could get interesting, you know, there's nothing that, that prevents you. There's nothing that, that in the rule that talks about outfielders moving. So if you've got a dead pole hitter, you could take your left fielder and put him in right, in shallow right, the way they would have with the shortstop or the third baseman back in the, you know, with the shift. Now you're just daring the guy to hit the ball the other way. If he hits the ball the other way, he's going to run forever and ever and ever. And Schwarber said, if they want to move the left fielder, by all means, I'll just, you know, I'll try to go the other way and get a triple or an inside the park home run. I'm not averse to trying that, and I think I can do that. So that's the risk. But it's going to be interesting to see if teams try it, and if they do, if they get burned by it.
When you look at this Phillies team going in, what are a couple of elements on the checklist that you want to see in spring training that tells you that that element is on the right track?
Yeah. I think the first thing that I wanted to see when I got there was what the sort of the atmosphere was like, what the energy was like in camp.
Yeah.
And what I found was, as you might expect, it's pretty positive. It's pretty upbeat. There's a lot of confidence, not cockiness. I think it's kind of a quiet confidence that they got where they got last year, two wins from winning the World Series, and they feel like they can get back there again. I've talked to players who've been around now for a while with the Phillies, Rhys Hoskins for one, and he was talking about how, you know, really throughout his whole career, he's come to spring training and he's heard about a drought, a playoff drought, you know, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, kind of something that sort of followed them around. And they don't have to hear about that anymore. It's a weight that was lifted, and you could feel it last year after they made the playoffs, and you can certainly feel it this spring. So that was one thing, what the atmosphere was like, what the vibe was like, and so far so good. You know, I'm interested to see now as games start, we've been talking about the rules, what they look like, and how the players adapt to them. I am curious to see how this fifth starter competition plays out. That is the story of camp by far. Andrew Painter, we've all now had a look at him in some bullpen sessions and some live batting practice, and it's impressive stuff. Now we'll see it in games, we'll see it against hitters, and we'll see if at 19 years old he really has a chance to make this team. I think he does, and I think it's actually a pretty good chance if he pitches well and looks like he belongs that he'll be. I think he could be in the rotation on, you know, out of camp. So we'll see how that plays out, and then just health. You know, and that's the thing Rob Thompson's been harping on. It's not a camp where there's a whole lot of jobs up for grabs. Unless the last two spots on the bench really kind of grab you as something that's interesting. You know, and it is interesting, but it is certainly not a primary kind of like storyline. You know, when you have a camp like that where 23 or 24 of the 26 spots are claimed, what you just want to do is you want to see that team break camp healthy. And
yes.
They're going to have a few guys go off to the World Baseball Classic in a couple of weeks. They're going to want to get them back in the shape that they left them in. So that'll be something to watch and just kind of get through it and be healthy and start the season with their full complement of guys.
I've said that once. I've said it a thousand times when it comes to, like, people ask me about Penn State football training camp, for example. I said, you want to break camp with essentially the same team you started camp with.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks no so doubt. Much. Oh, yeah. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I know it's been a short time between the World Series and now, but it's always fun to just talk baseball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, look, like I said, they got games tomorrow. Opening day is basically a month away. So so it's coming, and it's coming quickly.
And I'm more excited about the season than ever, because there's nothing hanging over the sport. I just feel like now we can go and enjoy games and we can yell back and forth about rule changes and players and things like that.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and how it's you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a normal spring training, because you do have the World Baseball Classic that's going to interrupt it in between.
Right.
But that's a baseball thing. Like,
yeah.
2020, the pandemic shut things down. 21, it was a weird spring because we were still in the pandemic. Last year, it didn't get started until the middle of March because of the lockout. So we're finally able to go to spring training and talk about baseball for a change, like, for 7 weeks uninterrupted. That we haven't done that in a while, so it's pretty good to get back to normal and have a mostly normal spring again.
You got that right. Scott, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much, my friend.
You bet, Steve. Anytime.